Hey everyone, how are you doing? My name is Shelley Kaler, and I am from the University of California, San Francisco, the Philip R. Lee Institute for Health Policy Studies. And my experience and expertise is mainly in adolescent health, sexual and reproductive health, and school health. And currently, I am directing multi-method evaluations of school-based health centers in Alameda County, California, wellness programs in Oakland, California, school-based health centers, and school-based health centers in the state of Colorado. And I'm very happy to be here today to be part of this panel, first being the only woman on the panel, which is really strange for me because I'm usually talking to sexual and reproductive health folks, and it's all women in the audience, and also just because I thought it was really interesting hearing all of the other presentations that had a lot of similar themes to what we found, especially the first presentation from Keith King about school-based disrespect. I'll be talking to you about a focus group study that we conducted in Alameda County with schools that have school health centers. And we were asking them about their experiences with violence and the reasons they thought that violence happened at schools. And one of the main themes that came up was respect or disrespect. So I have no financial conflicts of interest, but I do want to acknowledge our funder, the Alameda County Healthcare Services Agency. And in addition to the findings from the focus group, I'll also be telling you about some of the efforts of the school-based health centers and schools in Alameda County. And I'm not as involved with the implementation of those programs, so I can tell you a little bit about them, and if you have more questions later, I can refer you to my contact at Alameda County. So just to give you a little bit of background about Alameda County, it is an area just east across the San Francisco Bay, and some of the cities include Berkeley, Oakland, Alameda, San Leandro, San Lorenzo, Hayward, Union City. And currently, there are 16 school health centers. Those are the ones in green. I know you probably can't read the names. And the purple are the sites for new school health centers, so health centers that are currently in the planning and development stages. And so my role, being a part of the UCSF team, is evaluation of the programs, and we work with the school health center directors and staff to design and implement the evaluation. And actually, the findings I'll be sharing with you today really came from the school health center directors because it was something that they were concerned about in their schools. We also provide evaluation technical assistance to sites and analyze and share our findings of those studies. Some of the evaluation methods include client encounter data, data on client visits, as well as tracking client outcomes, like mental health outcomes, for example. Also, client and student surveys, pre- and post-test surveys, satisfaction surveys about the school health center services, youth program surveys, from youth participants in youth development programs that are sponsored by the school health center, and also focus groups as an optional evaluation method for the school health centers. So we conducted 12 focus groups in May and June of 2009 at 6 Alameda County school campuses with school health centers. So it's actually, I believe, 10 schools because some of the school campuses had small schools on their campus. And we conducted one male and one female separated groups at each school campus. And the school health centers recruited the youth and also told the youth to tell their friends. We gave them $20 incentives for participating. And we talked it was kind of a two-part topic discussion. First, we talked about school health center feedback, and then we also talked about violence at schools. And this presentation will focus mainly on the violence prevention component. We also conducted just a brief survey before we started the focus group discussions, just to learn a little bit more about the participants, their demographics, and their use of the school health centers. And so looking at those survey findings, we had pretty split gender divide between male and females, a diverse ethnicity, with African American and Latina students being most prevalent, which matches up pretty well with the school population. 80% were in high school, and this makes sense because we conducted the focus groups at 5 high school campuses and 1 middle school, because we're currently only working with 1 middle school. And 87% had used their school's school health center, which makes sense because the school health center was doing the recruitment. So just to acknowledge that, you know, we would have liked it to be more evenly split, to have more representation from students who hadn't used the school health center. And when we asked them about violence and the magnitude of the problem in their lives, school health center directors were the ones who brought up the problem and asked us to address this with the students. When we talked with the students, they had mixed feelings. Some students felt that violence was not widespread or highly visible in their lives, and most, but not all, said that they felt safe at school. There were mixed responses from students about how big a problem it was compared to other issues in their lives. So many said that drugs and sex, teen pregnancy were the biggest problems, but that violence was right up there. And there were very strong feelings from students who felt that it was a big problem. When we kind of moved from the component of the focus groups talking about the school health center and we started talking about violence, the level of volume in the room really went up and people had a lot that they wanted to share. When we asked students their experiences with violence, and they mentioned bullying, they didn't talk about cyberbullying, which I thought was interesting, but I think it may have been because we were asking them about violence, and you know, to them, bullying almost felt a stretch for them. They were thinking more physical violence. They mentioned discrimination and verbal harassment and threats, stealing, petty theft, fights and weapons on the school campus, and fights, shooting, and weapons off the school campus. They also talked a lot about gang violence, including riots at school. And there were some differences in the groups, depending on the age of the students and the gender. Females were still reported by both males and females as being involved in violence, but it would often be more about gossiping, or they talked about even gang involvement, that yes, the women are involved, but they have slightly different roles than the men, that they would be more like a lookout or an accessory role to sort of lure in the victim. And middle school students and the ninth graders, the younger students, were the ones that were more likely to talk about bullying. So I'll share some quotes with you that illustrate the key themes on why you thought that students were involved in violent activities. So one student said, "They, students, fight for acceptance to prove themselves. They don't have a way to express themselves." So a lot of students talked about violence because students wanted a way to fit in or to get attention from others. And I think there's a big lack of genuine respect nowadays. I don't think anyone has respect for anyone's personal space, personal opinion, or any of that now. And respect was brought up in just about every focus group that we had in some way or another, and it was not only in the context of student to student, but also student and staff relationships. And one student said, "Relationships, and the lack of respect between students and teachers and the administration makes it feel like jail, not a positive environment, not a good example. And one more quote. I think that people who don't continue their education are still in the same spot they was in. They aren't going nowhere else, and that becomes their center, their life. So some youth thought that if other youth had more education or knowledge about other ways of living or opportunities, that they would be less likely to be involved in violent activities. So one student said, it's all about the respect. Once gossip starts, it's all over. So they talked about gossiping, talking mess about each other, or running their mouth. And that came up in most of the groups, more commonly, I said before, among the female groups. The where you're from thing is stupid. We all people, why don't we get along? So there is a lot of discussion about turf and, you know, where you're from and how this also can relate to and lead to gang violence. And lastly, a person can only take so much. When your anger builds up, you just want to take it out on anybody. So some students felt that there was a lack of healthy expression or emotions for some students. We also asked students their suggestions to prevent school violence. One student said, we have to be the ones to stop the violence. And I think this was echoed in the first presentation as well, that the school can empower the students, but the change must really come from the students themselves. And this one young woman made us laugh. She said, I don't hear college students saying, I'm from Crip or I'm from Blood. You better start banging your major like I'm from Poli Sci. What? So some of the participants felt that if you could continue your education and focus on your personal growth, you could transcend some of these violent activities. Another student said, if you sit down and talk about your problems, it's not always going to be solved, but some of it will. So finding ways to express emotions in healthier ways. And some suggestions that students had for schools. First, having to do with the physical space, lights and working cameras, like security cameras, for example, they said, if there's cameras and we know they don't work, that's not going to do anything. So physical space having to do with deterioration of the space and also with safety, like lights making you feel more safe. And then also more space was mentioned in some of the bigger schools. They felt that it was just so crowded and there were just people everywhere and it was just too much for them. Several students suggested providing more youth programs and activities and education. A student said, if we had something to keep us busy, we wouldn't have time to get in trouble. There are rumors that they're cutting all the after-school programs and sports, and that's just going to make things a lot worse. For example, sports motivate kids and keep their grades up and stay in school. And also, some students felt that the schools needed to do a better job of creating and enforcing rules and creating a climate of respect. Some other suggestions that the students had were for the school health centers, providing more youth development programs. So I remember one young woman especially talking about how she joined these two different programs and it really made her more social and more engaged in school, and she wasn't the only young woman to talk about this. They felt that it would give youth other skills and outlets and increase, they didn't say school connectedness of course, but that's basically what they were getting at. Some other suggestions were to provide more counseling and conflict mediation. And I'm going to skip ahead a little bit because I want to tell you about some of the programs that the school health centers are working with. So we shared these findings from the focus groups with the school health center directors, and we talked about what they were doing on their school campus or what could be done in the future. First, we talked about youth programs such as diversity training, gang intervention, other violence prevention, male involvement programs, youth development programs, life skills, and physical activity. And a few quick examples, the Niroga Institute works with youth on what they call transformative life skills, yoga postures, breathing techniques, and meditation, which they have shown to reduce stress and increase self-control. Another program is Beats, Rhymes, and Life. It's a therapeutic hip-hop group where they do rap therapy with the youth to promote behavioral health among teens who are more resistant to other types of therapy. Also, Destiny Arts, they focus, their programs include dance, martial arts, self-defense, theater, and conflict resolution. And also, Youth Alive is a program that trains youth who have been involved in gangs to speak to other youth. And they also do interventions where they go to hospitals where youth have been involved in violent activities, you know, if they've been shot, for example, and they talk with them to reduce retaliation and re-injury. And just quickly, some school-wide efforts like Violence Prevention Month, school assemblies or moments of silence, social media campaigns, and then also involving youth, involving adults, school staff adults, school health center staff, and also parents of teens. And some therapeutic approaches that the schools are using are peer conflict mediation, anger management groups, art therapy, and other alternatives to suspension. And a lot of the schools are using a restorative justice model, which is focusing more on creating a community of support for the offender and the victim, and accountability by building young person's skills versus focusing on punitive measures. And I have two resources that I want to share with you. They're really long, so I didn't bring very many copies, but I can always email them to you. One is the Alameda County School-Based Behavioral Health Framework that tells more about the behavioral health programs in Alameda County, and also School Climate for Learning. So I will have some up front, and I can also email them to you if you're interested. Thank you.
So we do have time for questions. You can just ask them, and whoever, if you want to direct it to a certain person or whoever it applies to, if you just want to go ahead and answer them, please.
Okay, great, thank you. My name is Noelle Wiggins. I'm from Portland, Oregon, and as an educator, well, first of all, I wanted to say that was a great panel. It's probably the best I've been to at ATHA, so thank you. But as an educator, I was sort of struck by the absence of teachers from all of the presentations. And while I don't want to put all of the responsibility on teachers, I do think that teachers play a huge role in setting the climate. And so it struck me, I was curious in Keith's study, why he didn't ask the students how they felt respected or disrespected by teachers. And I mean, there was one little dot point in his presentation about what the kids said about respect and disrespect from teachers. But I'm just curious about why that isn't being discussed more in this field, because if we knew more about how kids experience respect and disrespect from their teachers, there'd be some really clear implications for teacher training, both in service and pre-service. So any of you who want to reflect on that, I'd be curious.
I can just say briefly that, I'm sorry, I started skipping over that because I was running over time, but the youth did talk about their relationships with the teachers, and you know, that it went both ways. Teachers, not that they felt that the teachers sometimes didn't respect them fully, and then also, of course, students being disrespectful to their teachers. And some of the school health centers suggested approaches that they had used, such as staff trainings for teachers in adolescent development, like in brain development, and also some programs where they were matching up teachers and students as mentors so that every student in the school had a staff mentor that they could go to. And another program trained teachers and staff in conflict mediation. And I don't know a ton about how that program worked, but I could find out more.
You know, when we were developing our program, a lot of the information that was out there was actually addressing adults. This gives a little bit of a different slant, but how do adults in the school and teachers in the school, how do they handle the bullying situations? And so we really struggled to find things that we could give that were practical strategies for specifically elementary students. One of the statistics that's out there is that students have to ask or talk to at least two adults. They have to tell at least two adults of a bullying situation before it actually gets addressed. Part of the component of our program is a teacher is invited up to intervene in a role-playing situation, and so they get the chance to model to the students how they would handle the situation. And it's actually quite interesting from our perspective that some teachers really don't have the training that they need to handle it in an effective way. So where does that land for us? I don't know how we can help address that. The group that we worked with DPS, they were primarily working with the teachers and how to equip them with the right strategies.
If there isn't any more.
Okay. It was great. Thank you very much. And so the only question I had was, in any of your work, you may not have collected as a demographic, but did you see anything related to disability, any youth with disabilities? Did anything catch your attention? Did that even come up at all? And I was specifically wondering for the theater, if it was more general, or did it include, like, maybe I missed it, but did it include, like, faces of LGBTQ students and disabled students, or if any of that was in the theater? So that was just some of my curiosity.
Great. At this point, it's pretty general, the way we address bullying, the elementary school setting.
To answer sort of both of your questions, again, our survey is based off of the Youth Risk Behavior Survey, and I don't believe that there are any disability questions there. There are LGBT questions, of course, we've added that. And in regards to teachers, we do ask a few questions about school attachment and whether students have actually talked to adults at school and how much support they feel from them and how fairly they feel treated. So it's something that we can examine further, and I thank you for that recommendation.
Any connection to the families, how the family are affected by this situation? Any results from that?
At least for the global school-based student, I would say, which actually is derived from the YRP is, there is a question on the, with regards to the extent to which a parent understands a student's problems or worries, but for my study, we did not look at that relationship. But yes, it's something that can be looked at.
Hi, I'm Molly. I'm also from Portland, Oregon. And I'm curious about your work in Ghana. Bullying, like what students are being bullied about? The other folks talked about, like, boys are often bullied for being too feminine, or girls for what they're wearing or how they their appearance. I wonder if there are similar topics of bullying? Or
Definitely, and there's quite a bit of similarity. And the specific question we chose, there were two questions that I asked about bullying, but we chose the question that asked in which manner they were often bullied. So there were questions about being hit, pushed, issues, relational issues, such as being left out of games, laughed at, made fun of because of sex, you know, gender, race, etc. So yes, it did take some of those things into account. And as I said, it's actually based off the YRB, and so there's quite a bit of similarity with regards to the types of bullying assessed, except for electronic or web-based bullying or text messaging. That was not one that we looked at.
Yes?
Hi, I'm in the IPD field, and I know that some folks are talking about the extension of bullying for younger, middle school ages to teen dating violence, I guess, later on in high school. And I'm wondering if any of you all have heard that in your focus groups just about teen dating violence and the connection with bullying, and also those that are doing programs with that to talk about it all.
I will say not necessarily in connection with bullying, but it did come up, partner violence came up in a couple of the focus groups. I didn't mention it because it wasn't one of the main themes, but it did come up
fighting at school, or that that may be the source of conflict that would involve other youth? I wonder if maybe it was a little bit of a sensitive issue to talk about in a group setting.